Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Opel. The all-new Opel Mokka. With a new visor front face and pure panel interior, this is Opel.
Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
In recent weeks, details have been heard in the High Court about alleged financial irregularities at the Irish charity Bóthar, which have thrown huge question marks over the charity's future. When Brian O'Connell has been looking at this for us, what do we know, Brian?
Well, the High Court has heard that former Bóthar Chief Executive David Maloney has admitted very significant wrongdoing in relation to the misappropriation of money from the International Age Charity. Reference was also heard in court to suitcases of cash. As reported by Shane Phelan in the Irish Independent, Mr Justice Sinan Allen said money had been taken in regular small suitcases over the years. So it's not surprising, he said, Mr Maloney was not able to account in detail for this dispersal. The court also heard Mr Maloney has admitted these actions took place over a 20-year period and continued until he was suspended amid investigations into his conduct. But he denies he's liable for the full alleged amount of misappropriated funds, some €1.1 million. There remains clear dispute about how various amounts of money were spent, and also the founder and former chief of the charity, Peter Ireton, was found dead at his home in Castletroy in Limerick in April in what was described as a personal tragedy. It had been heard in court that Bóthar was also investigating Mr. Ireton in relation to the allegedly misappropriated money. I suppose Bóthar has been on the go for 30 years. It began in 1991. It sent its first airlift of 20 in-calf heifers from Shannon to Uganda. And the idea behind Bóthar was to help families by giving them livestock, especially Irish dairy cows, who are able to produce more milk than local cows. This would enable families to use some of the milk for themselves and then sell on the rest. So very much clear the philosophy behind Bóthar was a hand up and not a hand out. And it really struck a chord here, particularly in rural Ireland and within the farming community, many of whom dug deep and supported the charity over those years, but also in schools as well. It had a very effective outreach and fundraising programme in Irish schools, and it benefited from thousands of fundraising activities over those years.
And in terms of the people who supported Bóthar down through the years, you've been speaking, Brian, to some of them.
I have, and this whole scandal has really sent shockwaves through the charitable sector. We've obviously been here before, unfortunately, with cases in the past, and I suppose there was a feeling with a regulator in place now and rules around governance have really tightened up in recent years that the potential for things like this to happen had been minimised and donors could have a large degree of trust. Indeed, if you go on the Bóthar webpage, there are several sections where the charity outlines how you can be sure your money is going to where it should be. But let me bring you, Claire, some of the people who in different ways supported Bóthar down through the years, and they feel appalled now by some of the details that have emerged. The organisation, as I said, had a very successful schools programme. It really was a perfect fit in trying to tell that story of agriculture, of development in Africa, and how fundraising can make a difference. So many schools participated in programmes and events. One of them I spoke to was Angela Power. She's principal of St Oliver Plunkett National School in Dublin. It's a special school for children with dyslexia. And I spoke to Angela about their past support for Bóthar, and she was particularly hurt when it was revealed by what the court heard of former CEO David Maloney taking suitcases of money out of the charity.
Our relationship with Bóthar started actually about 20 years ago. A teacher in school started to fundraise, and it turned into what we call a Bóthar Day, which was an entire day devoted to fundraising. But for the first 10 years, that money was exclusively for Bóthar. And I worked out that we've given Bóthar about 25,000 over the years, Brian. It's an extraordinary amount of money, but as you know, children have a natural empathy and a natural kindness, and they want to give. So these children would have had little ideas like setting up a nail bar. Now, it's a very small school, Brian. There's only 63 children and 15 staff, but everybody put their heart and soul into this. When you talk about suitcases of money, I can see that money. You know, I can see the staff sitting down and the school secretary bagging coins, you know, 5 cent coins, 2 cent coins when we had them. I can see that physical money. I can see the suitcases of money that were taken because I can see it going directly from a small child who was setting up a nail bar, going into a bag and going into a suitcase and somebody walking out the door with it. So it's very real to me.
Did you ever at any stage over those 20 years have any concerns or suspicions or worries as to where the money was going?
No. sure it was lovely, Brian, because it kind of tapped into the animal thing as well. And again, you know, children have an absolute empathy and warmth towards animals. So it ticked so many boxes. And I feel, I can't even go there too much in my own head, because I feel a sense of guilt now that we and the teachers in school stood in front of these children and built up Charity Day and made it such a big deal that here we were, and we were great people, and we were going to help these people.
You must be utterly shocked reading the court reports.
Shocked, heartbroken, concerned about how we approach this in the future. I'm just hoping that none of the children ever ask me, Miss, is our money in one of those suitcases? Like I said to you, we haven't had our Charity Day for 2 years, but we will have one hopefully next year. We will be sitting there as a staff saying, well, you know, how can we be sure that this money is going to go safely to where it's meant to go? You know, if you follow it, and I know you have on Twitter, you see the comments from people, I'll never give again. I'll never, I'm going to make sure I never get caught again.
That's Angela Power there, Brian. And I know you spoke to one other donor also, but so far the staff who worked in Boher, they don't feel that they're ready to speak out.
And it's very understandable. I've spoken to several former workers over the past weeks, Claire, and none of them were prepared to speak publicly about what the organisation was like and their thoughts and feelings on what has emerged. There was a redundancy round at the organisation some years ago, and some workers who were made redundant then because of financial restraints at the time, they're obviously feeling very hurt at the revelations. Some I've been speaking to told me they're considering taking the name of the company off their social media profiles, and the feeling really was one of utter shock and dismay that an organisation they worked so hard for could have been subject to this kind of scandal. Those I spoke to were concerned also at the damage done to their ongoing careers now by their association with Boher, even though obviously they had no knowledge of these issues until very recently. One other man, and he was speaking in the Limerick Leader last week, he's questioning his former interaction with Boher, and he's the former Limerick Lord Mayor Jim Long. Now, during Jim Long's tenure as Lord Mayor in 2011 and 2012, he says the charity suggested that he hold a civic reception in their honour, something with the benefit of hindsight he now regrets. He says the idea for this civic reception came up during a meeting he held with then Boher CEO David Maloney.
It's very unusual that a request would come from a recipient for a civic reception. It's a very unusual, very rare that request would come from the actual applicant, we'll call them. It kind of raised an eyebrow with me, but I overlooked it immediately because, again, I was very familiar with Boher. And if we had known then what we know now, would we be having this conversation?
When you began to hear the details, what did you think?
I was absolutely, and still am, absolutely appalled and shocked. I was drained because when I proposed and put the civic reception in place, I did it on behalf of the people of Limerick. But we were so honoured to act on behalf of the people and honour a Limerick-based charity that seemingly was so doing so much good. I can't get my head around it.
And I suppose it comes down to trust, doesn't it? I mean, we trust that charities are operating within proper frameworks and guidelines. Something like this does a lot of damage.
I know people within the organisation of Boher, the team, we call them. They're excellent workers. They have been betrayed.
It's a hard one to take, isn't it?
Very, very sad and hurtful.
And Brian, you spoke to one other donor also.
Well, like I said, there was a particular connection with farming families. One woman from a farming background I spoke to, she'd prefer not to be named. She told me about the support her family gave to Boher down through the years.
When Boher started, it was a charity that people could see an affinity in, I suppose, and that they saw the work, the practical nature of it. It was that principle of, you know, give a family a fish and you feed them for a day, but give a family the skills to fish with and you feed them forever. So I think the Boher charity resonated very strongly with farm families in Ireland. The gift that the farmer gave was the calf or the heifer. But then there was also the fundraising that various organisations were involved with to pay the transport costs. So there were, you know, there were donations, practical donations of the livestock, but also then the fundraising that went with it that various people and organisations contributed to. And my parents would have given gifts of donations to people. You know, it was like they help sponsor a cow or help sponsor a goat. You kind of felt you were helping somebody along a road that maybe you were on not so long ago.
How did you feel when you began to read the reports?
There have been several of these kind of scandals over the years, and there's always that sense of betrayal that you felt that in donating to the various charities that have been involved, that you were helping somebody who could do with a leg up. And the idea that potentially that money wasn't going to the cause, the person, and that instead it was being skimmed off, it's really upsetting. You know, it's really, and I mean, it's, and particularly, I suppose, a charity where you maybe had an affinity with. But there's also then, I think, the impact that it has on other charities and maybe staff working in Boher and other charities involved, that they are being kind of tarred with the same brush.
Okay, so Brian, what's likely to happen with all of this next?
Well, the current case is due back before the High Court, and in the meantime, Maeve Sheehan was reporting in The Independent that former CEO David Maloney has been interviewed by detectives for the first time over allegations he misappropriated more than 1.1 million from the charity. It's understood detectives from the Garda National Economic Crime Bureau, they conducted preliminary interviews with Mr. Maloney in recent weeks. I did ask Boher for a comment, and they pointed me to a statement on their website, which is dated from April 8. They say, Boher, it's come to Boher's attention that serious financial irregularities may have occurred at the organisation. They're currently the subject of a detailed investigation, not only by the board of Boher, but also by the relevant statutory bodies who have been fully informed of these matters. It says the charities regulator instigated an investigation into the affairs of Boher in October 2020. That review is ongoing. And obviously, given that the matter is before the courts, Boher won't be making any further comment.
Brian O'Connell, thank you for bringing us that report. Coming up next on the programme, Dr. Caoimhe Hartley will be answering questions about puberty.
Email todaycb@rte.ie.